Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John's on the other side of the glass. Together, a big welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, December the 14th, 2021. Broadcasting from the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, our radio station, 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, the call letters KVOI, the voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Today we resume our every other month interview series presented by Pima Community College. This series introduces our listeners to the dedicated educators and supporters of Pima Community College. Joining us on the live line, Marcy Euler. Marcy is the president of the Pima Community College Foundation. Hey, Marcy, how are you?
I am very well, thank you. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
It's our pleasure, and I think a lot of people, this is going to be very informative for them. They may not even know that the Pima County College Foundation exists. What is kind of the genesis of the foundation, Marcy?
So the Pima College was established in 1969, and very shortly thereafter, it was realized that there needed to be a nonprofit supporting the students, the faculty, the programs that state funds or taxpayer dollars did not provide for. So the foundation began its work in 1977, and the 501c3 designation was granted in 1981. And so it's almost as old as the college is, a little bit less. But in 40 plus years, the foundation has had a number of different leaders and has been really working to establish relationships with donors and scholarships for students or support for programs and faculty that need a little bit extra above and beyond what the college provides for.
So the
the
mission and the vision of the organization came together shortly after the college. Well, not so sure. It was a few years after the college was up and running, correct?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I've been in this role for just a little over 3 years. And so we've redone our mission and vision to really look at the forward thinking that the current chancellor has put into play. So we really, our vision is that our community is transformed and is thriving due to the work that Pima does. And our mission is to really champion the college through the cultivation of relationships that we bring to the table that are really long-term and long-lasting in order to support all of the great things that the college is doing.
Beside the obvious that the foundation is very obviously dependent on Pima Community College, how are the two related, Marcy?
Well, we work directly with the donors who want to support different initiatives for the college. So we are the nonprofit partner with Pima College, so that if a donor is interested in establishing a scholarship, providing funds to support students in a particular program on one of the campuses. Maybe somebody is interested in creating a faculty, a chair to allow a certain department to attract or keep excellent faculty. They can come to us and we can help them put their money to use in a very specific way. So we have about 90, almost 100 endowed scholarships. We probably have 50 general scholarships and about 100 different program funds that support independent departments or needs of the college.
Marcy, is it typical for a community college to have this type of a foundation this type of a support unit available, or is this something that is more of a hybrid to Pima?
No, most educational institutions, regardless of the level, in fact, many high schools even at this juncture have foundations that are helping support them. And so it's not unique in the community college space, but particularly in a place like Tucson or in Arizona, where we have some world-class four-year institutions, maybe we don't have as much exposure as some of the larger entities do, but we are working very hard to change that here at Pima.
What are some of the projects that you would like to highlight, some of these projects that people could actually support through the foundation?
Well, some of the things that people may have already heard about are the Center of Excellence models that are being put into play. We have six different centers on five of the different campuses. So we have a cybersecurity and information technology center at the East Campus that has been completely redone and is open for business. We had a ribbon cutting in November. Our applied technology area, we have a brand new at the downtown campus that just opened for classes in August. And it is a 47,000 square foot facility that is unlike anything that Tucson has seen, and unlike most of what the region has available to automotive technicians. Our aviation program downtown at the airport, we are in progress of expanding to more than doubling the size of that hangar to provide opportunity for students to be able to get really great paying jobs when they get out. And our advanced manufacturing building is being built. It's a 100,000 square foot building that is in progress also at our downtown campus. Automotive, aviation, and advanced manufacturing are all part of our Applied Technology Center of Excellence. We have hospitality leadership at our Desert Vista campus. They are undergoing a complete renovation of their culinary kitchen and hospitality training facilities at Desert Vista, and that should be up and running within probably the next calendar year. Health professions at our West Campus is being renovated and expanded so that science and lab space are state of the art for students interested in the health professions and the hard sciences. And then our two programs that we don't have building underway right now, our public safety and emergency services has a great program that will be moving to our East Campus eventually. We are serving students at the 29th Street Center and do a lot with the different public safety entities around the community. Yep. And then lastly, our arts program at West Campus, from visual to performing arts, all of those facilities are truly remarkable and available for the public to view and participate in.
Marcy Euler is with us. She is the president of the Pima Community College Foundation. It really sounds like what you've been articulating, it's really a complete overhaul of infrastructure, it sounds like, at Pima Community College.
Absolutely. Chancellor Lambert has brought a vision that is coming to fruition in a really positive way with regard to what learners are able to take advantage of at Pima and be able to either start in a new career or upskill in their current career and get good jobs or move ahead in a current job. And it's an exciting time to be part of this organization.
So how can people learn more about making a donation to the foundation and financially helping out?
So we have a website, pimafoundation.org. And one of the things that we are working on right now, we just were given a $5 million challenge grant from the Connie Hillman Family Foundation. For every $2 we bring in new donor money, or a donor who may have given us money before increased donation from that individual or entity, they will match that with an additional dollar. So $100 could turn into $150 based on the match. And we are working to solicit $10 million worth of new and increased donations over the next 3 years to meet that challenge grant. So PimaFoundation.org, or if people would prefer to make a phone call and learn more, our number is 520-206-4646. Or they can certainly email me. My name is spelled M-A-R-C-Y at PimaFoundation.org.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like you've got a lot going on. And thank you for bringing us up to date, Marcy Euler. Thanks, Marcy.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience. Happy holidays.
Same to you, Marcy. Have a great holiday. All right. Speaking of the holidays, Mona's Danish Bakery is gearing up. It's a big time of year for Mona's. They had a great Thanksgiving. They are taking orders right now for your Christmas dinner, and it is going to be Christmas morning before you know it, and Christmas Eve morning. A lot of people like to kind of get celebrated on Christmas Eve. So may I make a suggestion for your breakfast? A Danish Kringle, certainly not just for breakfast. It would last maybe the whole day. I kind of doubt it. So good. It will probably go pretty fast. But Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. I like their Danish coffee cake as well, which is kind of the cousin to the Kringle, but they do a great job at the northeast corner. Swan and Sunrise, they're open right now for lunch. They open in the morning at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday. Their website, you can make your order through the website or just walk into the bakery. The website is monasdanishbakery.com. Shelley Fishman coming up next Tuesday. So, yeah, the market is kind of having its ups and downs. What else is new? We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is the week going so far?
The week is going terribly, thank you. yesterday wasn't very good at all. We gave back some of the gains that we had seen last week, and today the market's kind of, you know, heading for, you know, no real direction, but it's generally down about 100 points on the Dow. This is end of year stuff. Mm-hmm. There's nothing fundamental happening that is really driving things one way or the other. And there's this lurking fear of this new Omicron variant and what might happen to economies around the world as a result of just large numbers of people getting sick, even if they're not getting very sick. We had warnings from, I think, Denmark and Norway overnight saying that they were expecting to get clobbered over the next couple of weeks.
Mm. Yeah, it seems to be very transmissible. So inflation, that we had an inflation report Friday. I had another one, I think, today that came out. So the market's pretty much built in the so-called inflation fear, hasn't it?
Clearly, the market is ignoring these inflation numbers because it views them, number one, as transitory, even though that word has fallen out of love, you know, we've fallen out of love with that word. But the other thing we're seeing is that the inflation is now international. Mm-hmm. Every country is experiencing this inflation, some of it worse than what we're experiencing. And that doesn't make it any easier to deal with, Bill, but we're seeing that the policies that we put into place to stimulate the economy over the past 2 years aren't really the major cause of this inflation. What's causing this inflation are things like supply side problems and just pent up demand. You know, nobody really anticipated what was going to happen. I mean, you'd have to be a little clairvoyant to have seen it. But we got stimulus, people got money in their pockets, and no place to spend it. And then all of a sudden, we had literally trillions of dollars of cash sitting on the sidelines that needed to be spent. And as soon as things relaxed a little bit, people started spending it. We're trying to spend it, and that just caused an imbalance between supply and demand, where the demand was much higher than the supply could possibly have accounted for.
Yeah.
In addition, the demand was on the side of products and not services. So what we're seeing is the stuff that really is subject to supply line problems is the stuff people want. And so, you know, we're working our way through it. Gasoline prices are down a bit. Some of the other things that have been problematic, like food prices, are down a bit. But we're gonna finish out this year with inflation in the 6% range. But we're gonna finish out the year with GDP growth in the 7% range.
The head of Bank of America said he, in his career, has never seen spending like what he has seen just over the last month. And he's talking clearly about their products with credit card related.
There Absolutely.
And this just reinforces what you were just saying about this demand.
It is easy to, you know, we talked a little bit about this last week. It's, mm-hmm. it's easy to use politics to place blame for this inflation. The real blame is ignorance, is that nobody was clairvoyant enough to understand what would happen if you shut down world economies mm-hmm. essentially for a year mm-hmm. and then told people, you know, have at it, you know, we're back, let's go start spending some of that money that, number one, you didn't spend because you couldn't, and number two, we gave you as stimulus. So, yeah, it's troublesome. I get a little, you know, bristly about people who, you know, were given two $1,400 checks plus, you know, large child tax credits, and now are complaining about the price of gasoline. Nevertheless, we haven't seen inflation this high in a very long time. We need to get it under control.
Let's talk about a stereotype. When you talk about the cap free market system, when you think about Wall Street, there is a stereotype of that there's greed, and not only greed, but corruption. And I flash back to Gordon Gekko. He was the lead character played by Michael Douglas in Wall Street, the first Wall Street. There was a remake. I didn't think it was anywhere near as good as the first movie. But there is that feeling that that greed is somehow married to corruption.
Well, you know, you can define greed many ways. And Gordon Gekko famously said, greed is good. Now, what did he mean by that? And he turned out to be a pretty unsavory character.
Yes, he did.
So I'd rather not guess about what he meant about that. However, if you define greed as the drive to make money and to do it in ways that are innovative and bring in new opportunities and new technology, then greed indeed is good. Now, that said, absolute greed corrupts absogreedily. the old saw that I'm referring to. But when greed goes unchecked, when you don't have the mechanisms in place to keep greed focused on the things that it does very, very well, then it can become a corrupting force. I mean, I grew up, you know, in New York in the 50s and 60s with people who just assumed that if you were in a strategic or decision-making capacity in a corporation, you were corrupt because corporations were corrupt. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there was the whole bunch of people who really thought, and some of that came from Marxism and, you know, communist sympathizing and that kind of thing, but most of it just came from people understanding that if corporations were not carefully regulated, that the propensity of managers within those corporations to do nasty things was something that you really had to always be on the guard
for.
To
always keep a close eye on
always
them, right?
Always keep a close eye on. So we talked last week a little bit about balance, and mm-hmm. balance is very, very important. But when I think about greed, and I think about greed as the desire to make money and use all the things in my creative thinking that I can do to figure out ways to match a product or a service with a need in the marketplace, then that to me feels like an okay thing. Now, you know, you
like
can get
a service provider,
exactly.
Right?
You know, you can get carried away. I'm going to use a name. I normally don't use corporate names or physical names, but we got some statements from Elon Musk this week. Now, Elon Musk is a genius. He started, I believe, in Silicon Valley with a company called Paychex, mm-hmm. Which became fabulously successful. Mm-hmm. Then he went to Tesla. He now owns also a space company. Mm-hmm. The guy is all over the place. Mm-hmm. He's the richest person in the history of the world. Mm. And he thinks that taxation is the wrong thing to do, and he won't give any of it to charity.
Really?
Really. And he's perfectly happy to be upfront about that.
Mm, doesn't give money to charity.
Gives no money to charity. Now, you know, is he relaxing some of that? I don't know. But the statements that he has made recently are stereotypically, you know, you can put those in a box called unbridled greed. And that box is populated with genius. I mean, it just is. The guy has been fabulously successful. But it reinforces the stereotype.
It adds ammunition to the whole stereotype, for sure.
And if you have built a career and a life around balancing the desire to make and earn money for you and your shareholders and your clients, and at the same time balance the needs of all the stakeholders that corporations have, their customers, their communities, their suppliers, etc., you know, you resent that kind of feeling about what greed really is. And that's why I'm on my high horse about this, Bill. And I know, you know, we won't talk about it again for a couple of weeks at
least. No, we'll probably talk about the Santa Claus rally Tuesday, right before Christmas.
But if you're an investor,
yeah,
if you are into making money the legal, balanced way, mm-hmm. let me tell you, greed's good.
All right, there you go, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, we will see you a week from today as we get ready for Christmas. Thank you very much. Yes,
Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands One and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery in Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, they grew 25,000 poinsettias, more than I think probably anywhere in the United States. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just kind of guessing it. And it was over a bunch of greenhouses that they really start the, it's a year-long process, and they've got the poinsettias. They are ready for you right now on their 13-acre site, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to their website, greenthingsaz.com. They are open daily. I hope you'll go by, and when you're there, go by Zocalo Village, which is contained on the property. It's a beautiful property. Zocalo Village has some beautiful things, imported items, Talavera pottery, beautiful things, many imported items from Mexico. Time for our monthly arts report. Margaret Regan is the longtime arts writer for the Tucson Weekly, author of two prize-winning books on immigration. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. It's time for your annual Nutcracker story. I know you love dance. The
yep.
Nutcracker, and there's a couple of Nutcrackers back in business this year after, I think everybody took kind of last year off, but here we go again. The marquee Nutcracker you articulated in the current weekly.
Yeah. No, I didn't get everybody. You know, this is just sort of a sampling of them. But as you know, last year, COVID took away our Nutcrackers, you know, and that's, you know, it was unthinkable because it happens every single year. And it's Tucson's favorite ballet. But this year, you know, it's a little different. We still have the pandemic, but with, you know, ample vaccines and boosters, a number of companies have carved out a way to bring it back. So Ballet Tucson, you know, that's our foremost company in this city because it's a professional ballet company, you know, with paid employees who get auditioned coming from all over the country. And I'm just thrilled to hear that they've been able to come back and do it. It will be wrapped around the Christmas day, so you still have time to get there. But it's just wonderful to hear them. You know, I talk to the people there, and the dancers are just in high gear. They are so thrilled to be back and dancing. And, you know, we have these great dancers that are in it. So, you know, it'd be really thrilling. The artistic director associate said to me, "We are thrilled to bring our beloved holiday classic back to the stage. Our dancers and audiences have missed the joy and wonder of our Nutcracker." So this will be a wonderful thing, you know, helping us all get through these difficult times, those who love them. And they've done a really good job with their protocols. You know, you have to have been vaccinated yourself. You have to show those things. And even children are required to wear a mask. So I think people could feel pretty safe.
And the venue is the Tucson Music Hall?
Yeah, that's right. So lots of seats available. I'm really rooting for them, you know, because all these companies have been through a lot of difficulties. And there are a number of smaller companies still doing them. Some have already happened. Like last weekend, we had Ballet Rincon that's over in Vail, and that's a very nice company, too. And they said the same thing. They were so thrilled to be back. But so we have a couple this weekend. Dancing in the Street is a wonderful children's thing. They have it's a school for kids on the south side of town. It's for kids who, you know, their family probably doesn't have much money. And the owners of this, Celeste Lupu and Joseph Rogers, who himself had a really great big ballet career before he returned to Tucson, his hometown. And they take these young kids and they make this wonderful Nutcracker. And all the families come, and it's just a, you know, a really lovely thing. Now, that's going to be this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And let's see, and one more that I would mention, It's called Dance West. Now, last year, Megan Malthos, who's the director, she was very creative in trying to still do a Nutcracker, and she ended up making a full-length movie of kids dancing a very loose version of Nutcracker in outdoor locations in our city. So she was not going to let it go, but this year they're back on the stage, and that is going to be this weekend also at, the December 18th at Palo Verde High School. So there are a lot of opportunities still for people who want to see the wonderful dancing and hear the beautiful music by Tchaikovsky. So.
Margaret, let's transition from dance over to a couple of current art shows that you haven't written about yet in the weekly, but they are worth mentioning. The University of Arizona Museum of Art. I've heard a lot of good things about this show. It's called The Art of Food.
Yes, very unusual, right? There's something like 109 artworks featuring 37 artists, and every single one has something to do with food. So it's a quite unusual show, and it's from a private collection of a man up in the Northwest, and he just has a huge collection, and his thing is he likes to help university museums put on shows. So he's allowed them, free of charge, he paid for all the shipping and everything, to bring these things down here. And there's some very famous people in it. We have Andy Warhol with a big yellow banana. Not surprising. And this one woman named Catherine Ace that I hadn't heard of before. Beautifully colored, lush pictures of food, you know, painting, just really gorgeous. And then there are other ones, of course, about social justice. And this is at the University of Arizona Museum of Art, and it's running until, March 22nd, so people have plenty of time to see it.
And the university, that's at the University of Arizona Museum of Art, TMA, Tucson Museum of Art, they've got a big winter show that's up right now. Quickly articulate that for us.
Yeah, well, there's an artist, maybe not as famous as he should be in Tucson because he's lived here for many years, but Olivier Mosset. He was born in Switzerland. He's lived here for a long time, but he's very well known in, lots of countries. But he's a very conceptual guy. A lot of his paintings, they're unusual shapes. A lot of them are all black. So it's very, very contemporary stuff, but it's really interesting to see. And as I said, he's very well respected throughout all around the world for artists. They have a second show up there now about a young guy from L.A., who does a lot of stuff about immigration.
And folks who want to look at the Christmas lights at Tohono O'Toole, take a look at the gallery, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't been up there to see this show. I haven't been up there in quite a while, with the pandemic. But I think it's very safe up there, too. It's called The Elements of the Earth. And that's going to be, really a lot of artists are in
there. I think you had said there's going to be 85 artworks.
Yes.
41 different Arizona artists, and that is up at Tohono O'Toole Gallery through February 2nd.
Yeah, so we have plenty of time to get up there, and yes, look at the lights when you're there.
All right. Margaret Regan, certainly we appreciate all you do for us and your monthly visits to the program. All the best to you and your family over the holidays. Thanks, Margaret.
Yeah, and you have a happy holiday, too.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you. See you next year. We'll see you in 2022, which we all hope will be better than 2021 and 2020. So have a great holiday. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. A lot of people have time off over the holidays. How about a road trip? Everybody, I think, is up to getting away if possible. How about a three-hour drive? Not bad at all. East of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. There's lots to do in that area. A lot of outdoor activities. Just taking in the whole atmosphere. Some beautiful Victorian architecture and Victorian homes in Silver City. We send so many of our listeners over to that area, and everybody comes back and says, Bill, I had no idea. Had a great time. Find out about things to do and places to stay by visiting, here it is, southwestnewmexico.org. Just spell that out. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, one of our great supporters, really since day one, and the program now will be coming up on 11 full years. Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, CPA, is with me in studio. Michael, how are you?
Great, Bill. Great to see you, and I'm glad those 11 years went pretty quickly, didn't they?
Hey, they certainly did. I remember calling you up after I was ready to leave the TV show at Channel 6 and said, Michael, I got this idea to do a radio show, and you joined up, and we're on board right away, and we certainly appreciate everything you've done for us and everything you've done for our community. Michael, it's a crucial time of the year. People think, well, oh, don't have to worry about taxes till next spring. Year-end planning is really important.
Yeah, you only have 2 weeks left to do some things.
Yep.
And most important thing is individual taxpayers are what's known as being on the cash basis. So if you're going to take a deduction in 2021, you need to write the check by December 31st. Or put it on your credit card so that it hits your credit card by December 31st. So now's the time to take a look at last year's return, sort of line by line item by line item, and see what are the big changes. And if necessary, call your preparer. Hopefully you're working with the CPA. We do this as a specialty, and that's the only thing we do, our taxes primarily. So I'd encourage you to call your CPA and tell them what's going on in your situation. If it's the same as last year and nothing's changed, you probably don't have too much to worry about. But if you have any significant change in circumstances.
How about COVID-related items, payments from, what do they call that, EIPs, economic impact payment?
Yeah, the good news on those are that they're not going to be taxable. So any rebate money you received either in 2020, late 2020, or early 2021.
No tax liability on that.
No tax liability. That's just a free money, as they say. and then these advanced child credits, I believe they're going to come to fruition when you do your return this year, and they'll get some sort of report from the government on how much they paid you so far.
And I hope you do call Michael C. Flowers, Certified Public Accountants. And Michael, I think it's worth talking a little bit about tax preparers. People say, well, oh, I use an EA. That's an enrolled agent. And they think they're working with a CPA. Big difference.
Yeah, so not to be derogatory, but sort of like a nurse and a doctor. At the CPA level, we are professionals. We need to obviously go to college. We need to have at least 2 years in a CPA firm. Right now, you can get the CPA with a master's degree and 1 year's experience. But we're also regulated by the Arizona State Board of Accountancy. And if you're working with somebody who's not a CPA and there's an issue, which hopefully there aren't if you're working with the CPA, but if there are issues, the Arizona State Board of Accountancy only governs CPAs. So you really don't have a regulatory agency at your disposal to look into any matters where you think there may have been some, God forbid, malfeasance or some mistakes or something. But the CPAs, I know if we make a mistake, we make it good. We pay the penalties and we take care of that. Thank God in my career we've never had anything of any substance related to that.
But, and you've had a long career. And this is not, I mean, somebody may set up shop and say, oh, I'm good with numbers.
Right.
And I can do tax preparation, I mean, be real careful.
Anybody can be a tax preparer. Literally anybody. You don't have to be an enrolled agent. You don't need to be a CPA. You could be a barber and do this on the part-time. You do have to register with the IRS, which is something relatively new, but we see some tax returns that are horrific.
Wow.
And we never see that from another CPA firm, but from the non-CPA preparers.
You've got a lot of cleanup. When you see that, you have a lot of cleanup to do.
Yeah, we amend a lot. We call it an amended process. You can amend a tax return for up to 3 years after it was filed.
Wow.
And after 3 years, which includes the extensions, after 3 years, if you made a major mistake, it sort of gets buried with the tax return, which is unfortunate.
Then some people will say, Michael, I just can't afford that price point. You guys are so pricey. I think that's really overblown, those thoughts.
My response would be you can't afford not to have a CPA. Generally, invariably, 97% of the time at least, we save more on a tax return than our costs. And the costs are not that, you know, I would say $500 would be for a not that complicated tax return, and then they go up from there. But, you know, if you don't want to spend $500 to make sure and give yourself peace of mind and make sure that you got somebody who's been doing this, has malpractice insurance and knows what they're doing, that's your call. But also, if the IRS sends you one of their friendly, we'd like to audit you letters, then you're on your own when it comes to that. So, being in the business for so long.
When did you start here in town?
I started in 84. So
wow.
We're coming up. I started the firm in 84. I got out here in 78. So I'm into my 40 years as a CPA.
Could you do anything for our listeners that would like to call right now and they've got a couple of questions?
We'd be more than happy to, Bill. And as a courtesy to you and the show and our long-term relationship, we don't charge for the phone call. In fact, we don't charge for an initial meeting if we need to go over some matters. But in most cases, I can handle the issues over the phone. Our phone number is 520-327-8255. 8706. And we're more than happy. Just mention that, you know, you heard me on the Bill Buckmaster Show and you have a question. If we answer it on the phone, there's no charge. And if we wind up doing a consultation, there's no charge for that. But if we do some work, amending returns or actually preparing your returns, that's when we get on the clock, and it'd certainly be worth it at that time.
And Google Flowers. That's easy to remember. Flowers, a CPA, Tucson, yeah. And they will find you and your office. You've got a really nice, you've moved from, for years you were over on Broadway. Now you, a couple of years ago, you're over there now off Grant.
Yeah, we're on Grant Road, just east of Craycroft.
In the old farm complex?
Old Farm Executive Complex. We own the building in there. And surprisingly, it's about 4 years ago that we did that. And I was on Broadway for about 30 years. So we're one of the institutions in town, maybe. We've been in town for a long period of time.
So get your act together, folks. Economic impact payments, we covered that. The good news with the EIPs, no tax liability. Charitable deductions, start thinking about that. The net investment income tax, and, of course, capital gains.
Yeah, the charitable deductions, hopefully most people are aware by now that Arizona has many state tax credits. And there's a major difference between a tax credit and a tax deduction. For example, if I give $1,000 to the American Heart Association, I get a deduction for that. And if I'm in a 30% tax bracket, I'll save $300. Arizona has other credits, tuition support, public schools, and they're trying to encourage investment. And if I give $1,000 to a tuition support organization, Arizona will give me that $1,000 back.
That's a real important point. That's a dollar-for-dollar deduction.
We encourage all our clients to take advantage of that because you sort of control where your state tax dollars go as well. Would you rather see it go into the general fund, or would you rather know you're helping some child get through college or helping the public schools with their public activities, the chess team, the basketball team, and they're all wonderful causes. There's a foster care.
As a couple, Michael, you get a 2,000. Can you go a 2,000 on the education?
It's a little over 2,000 on the education. There's there's about $4,500 in total. Just Google Arizona state tax credits. It will point you in the right direction. And again, you're welcome to call our office. We have a list of the available credits, and we're more than happy to share those with you as well as some of the charities that qualify. And all these charities have been hurting with what's going on in the economy, and what a greater way during this type holiday season to, you know, help somebody else out when it literally doesn't cost you a dollar.
Yeah, that's really a good
deal.
How
often can you say that in a tax scenario?
So. Yeah, very good information. Michael C. Flowers. And again, Michael, it's always a pleasure to see you. And I want to thank you very much for your support over almost now 11 full years. And please give my regards to everyone over in the firm and all the best to you and your lovely family.
Bill, I appreciate the same to you, and wish you a very happy holiday season, and you've been a delight as a client and a great friend.
Thank you very much. All right, that will wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Michael C. Flowers, certified public accountant, and John on the other side of the glass, we hope everybody has a great afternoon.